I want to apologize in advance for the cynicism in the title of today's sermon, Happy Ungrateful Day. Obviously, I'm talking about Thanksgiving. Maybe I don't apologize. I'm not real sure. I'll let you decide. You see, I'm not really into this national holiday of Thanksgiving. My enthusiasm for Thanksgiving would definitely increase if America approached it differently than we do. Now, from a very personal and selfish standpoint, here's what I'm facing. I have a rather large family, 10 grandchildren and significant others and girlfriends and boyfriends and spouses and great-grandchildren and dogs and friends, and my quiver is full. And I am so blessed that they're all in this area. They're all around me. I get to see them and get to talk to them. And we're all going to gather this Thursday. About 30 of us are going to gather this Thursday, and it's going to be a lot of chaos. And the older I get, the less I deal with chaos. But you know what? I'm really blessed. I'm not complaining. I'm just stating a fact. I'm really blessed. But it's a lot. And added to that, my married children and my married grandchildren, when they get together to plan Thanksgiving, they're now arguing. Discussing various details. One of them is, who is going to host this year? I am not going to get into the middle of that one. Regardless of who it is, there's not enough parking. There's not enough room for everyone to sit around one table. There's a lot of chaos in the kitchen. And did I mention dogs? There are a lot of large dogs. And there is a pressing need for Tylenol. I'm not complaining. I'm just stating a fact. It's actually a joy. I'm blessed. And oh, by the way, I'm not a football fan either, so that doesn't save Thanksgiving for me at all. I used to be a Macy's Parade fan, but that's in the past. I really could care less about that now. I do enjoy a traditional Thanksgiving menu, but now even that is up for discussion among my family. I think we're having brisket on Thursday. I believe someone's bringing a turkey as well. In other words, my blessings are overflowing. Who started all this anyway? Was it the Pilgrims in 1612? Or was it Abraham Lincoln in 1863? How long has it been since you read the proclamation that Abraham Lincoln distributed in 1863? Here's just part of it. Listen. I, Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, do hereby appoint and set apart the last Thursday in November next as a day which I desire to be observed by all my fellow citizens, wherever they may then be, as a day of thanksgiving and praise to Almighty God. The beneficent creator and ruler of the universe. And I do further recommend to my fellow citizens aforesaid that on the occasion they do reverently humble themselves in the dust and from thence offer up penitent and fervent prayers of supplication to the great disposer of events for a return of the blessings of peace, union, and harmony throughout the land which it has pleased him to assign as a dwelling place for ourselves and for our posterity throughout all generations. Wow. According to that proclamation, Thanksgiving was intended to be a holy day, not a holiday, but a holy day, And you may not agree with me, but I think it's evolved in the wrong direction. And furthermore, I think it's possible the Bible predicted it. I'm reading a prophecy from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Listen carefully and see if you think any of this applies. There will be terrible times in the last days. When are the last days? I mean, you know, we have been in the last days for over 2,000 years, and we will be in the last days until Jesus returns, and he could come back before this Thursday. We just don't really know when it's going to be. We are in the last days. We may be in the last of the last days. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. This is a rough-sounding list, isn't it? It goes on. Treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Holy mackerel. If my approach here is cynical, how do you think people felt about Timothy when he said those words about mankind, about us? Here's another personal irritant. Boy, it feels good to get some of this off my chest. Even though I'm not complaining. The main focus of the season of Thanksgiving in America has become financial. There, I said it. Someone was talking about that, and they said, well, at least the department stores close on Thanksgiving Day, and that's very true, but there's one department store that's open 24/7. It's called Amazon. While physical department stores make most of their money in the year on what's called Black Friday, you're familiar with that term, right? I've been listening to the Black Friday all month long preceding. Okay. While most of the physical department stores primarily make their money on Black Friday, Amazon now makes even more money than all the department stores combined on Cyber Monday, the Monday after Black Friday. And not by a little, but by billions of dollars in one day. I read a little poem online. It says, "Thank you for all my blessings, Lord, from the bottom of my heart. But now I'm off to Amazon.com to fill my shopping cart." Where is our focus? On whom is our focus? You know what? This problem is not at all new. I mean, listen to poor Moses. Moses is preaching to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and he says, "When you have eaten and are satisfied," now, is that appropriate for this week or what? Moses is talking. When he says, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given to you, and be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees that I'm giving to you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large and your silver and your gold increases and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Boy, was Moses ever correct. Zero in, right on the target. Let's change the tone of this, shall we? Let's quit talking about Thanksgiving for a minute. Let's talk about giving thanks. There's a difference. As you know, the Bible is overflowing with directives, guidance, appeals to give thanks to God. Old Testament and New Testament, primarily in the book of Psalms. The Psalms is just filled with it. But there are some fascinating details surrounding that subject that run throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Let's start at the very beginning, Genesis. Very good place to start. Before God renamed Abram to Abraham, we read in chapter 14 of Genesis that there was a military victory. And here's what it says in verse 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of the God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hands." He gave thanks to God. He gave thanks to God. And from that passage alone, bread and wine became highly symbolic in the worship services of God's people whenever they gave thanks. Moving on in the Old Testament, after the plagues were over in Egypt and the angel of death spared God's people by passing over the doorpost where they had marked the doorpost with the blood of a lamb, they said thanks through what is called a Passover meal. And yes, there was food and drink contained there, highly symbolic, including bread and wine and the meat of a lamb whose blood had been sprinkled over those doorposts, alerting the angel of death to pass over. You can see where I'm going with this. It all leads up to the upper room. They were celebrating Passover. They were giving thanks to God. Now hang on to that while we have a little word study. One that we have visited multiple times here and which I'm going to visit again. So if this sounds familiar to you, it should. And let me say something up front. What I'm about to say is going to bless some of your socks off. And what I'm about to say is going to make some of you squirm. If it makes you squirm, please don't take it out on me. Talk to God about it. Okay? Here we go. There are different Hebrew words in the Old Testament for giving thanks. And all of the words in the Old Testament that we translate giving thanks can also be translated giving praise. They kind of go together. But interestingly, there are some different shades of meaning in them. And here is where some people might squirm. Those words do not imply a posture in praise and worship and thanksgiving. They call for a physical posture in giving praise and thanks to God, specifically in raising our hands. That is just one of the reasons that I encourage you and me to do that in our worship service, because the Bible specifically calls for God's worshipers to raise hands in worship. It has nothing to do with traditions. It has nothing to do with denominations. It has nothing to do with contemporary or charismatic worship. It all has to do with what God has directed us to do in His holy word. Now, as I touch on this again, please be open and remember what James said in chapter 1, verse 2. He said, "Do not merely listen to the word, but do what it says." Hello, is that clear? Please do not just listen to the word, James says, but do what it says. Here is the first Hebrew word for giving thanks, yada. Y-A-D-A-H, yada. When we translate it with our words giving thanks, 40% of the time, that is the word that's used. And here is the literal posture that it calls for. Lifting your hands. Are you watching? With the palms away from you, as in a position of surrender. God, I surrender to you. You are my God. I praise you. I thank you. I am yours. That's what yada literally means. True confession, the first time I was taught that, I didn't like it. I squirmed because I was uncomfortable raising my hands in worship. I'd never done that. We don't do that here. But thank God I've changed my opinion and I'm free now. I've been released. And those of you who raise your hands in worship, you have discovered the freedom and the joy of doing what the word says to do. Now let's look at another Hebrew word for giving thanks, and it's the word todah, T-O-D-A-H, and it's a derivative of the word yada that we were just talking about. And the literal posture that this word calls for, are you watching, is hands extended, cupped, as if to receive whatever God wants to pour into your life. That's what it literally means. And that's what it, you know, I'm reminded when I do this, I'm reminded of when they give me my great-grandbaby, and I want to hold her, and I just reach, and I imagine God reaching back and just hugging me as I hug him. It's like saying, God, I want to receive whatever you want to give to me or do with me. I'm yours. And that word todah is the most frequently used word in the Old Testament for giving thanks. Now, you may be wondering how all this fits together. Well, here is the answer. The word todah also carries with it the expression of sacrifice. Specifically, the sacrifice of three elements, bread and wine and the meat of a lamb. That's what the word literally calls for. Not turkey, by the way, or brisket. Well, Harry, that's the Old Testament. We've moved on. We're in the New Testament now. Well, let's turn to the New Testament. New Testament Greek. Just like the Hebrew, there are a variety of words in the Greek that we translate giving thanks. And the one I want to focus on is this one, Eucharisto. Eucharisto. The literal translation of Eucharisto is to give thanks. To give thanks. Another form of the word is Eucharistio, which means literally, I give thanks. I give thanks. And that is the word that Jesus used in the upper room when he broke the bread and gave thanks to God. And that's why Roman Catholics, Anglicans, Lutherans, and some Presbyterians don't call it Holy Communion. They call it the Eucharist, because it comes from that word, a symbolic meal that's all about giving thanks to God. And here's something very special. Right in the middle of that word, Eucharist, is the word charis, which is the Greek word for grace. Grace. It's all grace, folks. It's all grace. Brothers and sisters, there is absolutely no comparison between what we call thanksgiving and what the Bible calls giving thanks. There's just no comparison. They both involve a meal gathered together. But which one honors God more? Harry, are you advocating that we do away with the Thanksgiving holiday? Heavens no. There's a lot of good in the Thanksgiving holiday. There's a lot of joy and tradition in the Thanksgiving holiday. But I am advocating that we upgrade the focus of who we're giving thanks to and why we're giving thanks to, and even more than that, that we do it more often than once a year, for heaven's sakes. And please don't misunderstand me. I am not suggesting that we have Eucharist or Holy Communion more often than we do. I'm talking about approaching the throne of God more often with the same attitude and postures of praise and thanks that are prescribed in His Word. Not just say thank you, not just sing thank you, but show Him your thanks. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm so glad I've broken free from my past. Did you know that God explicitly asked us to give Him thanks? Where in the Bible did He do that? You want to guess? Well, in the Exodus? No. In the Psalms? No. But way down in the New Testament, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, this is the first place in the Scriptures that God directed us to give Him thanks. And you know this verse. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's the first place in the Bible that God told us to give Him thanks. You not only know that verse well, but you know this as well also. That verse does not say to set aside one day and call it Thanksgiving, or to give thanks to God only when you celebrate the Eucharist or Holy Communion. It doesn't say that. That verse makes giving thanks to God a central aspect of your life, a driving force in your life. And not as a response to your blessings, but as a foundational attitude of your life. Did you hear that sentence? Not just a response to your blessings, oh, thank you, God, but a foundational attitude of your heart and your soul. In your daily living, thanks be to God. Yada, I surrender to you, Lord God. Tada, I receive from you, Lord God, whatever you wish to pour into my life. How are we going to end this? I think maybe we should do what David did. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me. I want to paraphrase it. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any ungratefulness in me. And if there is, Lord, help me to realize it, and help me to correct it to your glory. Would you bow your heads? I want to suggest a prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Say this to God. Say, Lord, I surrender to you, Toda. Lord, may I grow in humble thanks. May I grow in sincere gratitude for who you are and for who I am in your eyes. And for your charis, your grace in my life. I thank you for everything. And for every day that you give me life. Hear my prayer, O Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.